Thank you, Brother Steve. Your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at some of the verses in the first two chapters this morning as we talk about mission forward. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the foundational beliefs of our church and how that impacts our life. We spent the last 6 weeks talking and walking through the letter of 1 John. And John's big point was, listen, if you're going to believe and say that you are a follower of Jesus, it better show in the life that you live. But one of the most important ways that it needs to show in your life is what the mission of your life is. And we're going to talk about that. And hopefully, at the end, we'll be able to answer, we are on the Lord's mission rather than on our own mission. So let's take a look. Beginning in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, it says this, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth,'" or the end of the earth. What a wonderful reminder of what our mission is. We find here the resurrection has happened. Jesus has appeared before his disciples. And remember, Israel thought, you know, all the Jews thought that the Messiah that was going to come was going to come and overthrow the evil Roman government. But that's not how Jesus came. Remember, Jesus came as a baby to a carpenter, not in a palace in Jerusalem, but in a very modest home in Nazareth to Joseph and Mary. And when Jesus came, and as he grew up, and as he came into his ministry, they said, "All right, here he is. We're going to..." But then Good Friday happened. Jesus was arrested and betrayed, and then they put nails in his hands and his feet. And he died. Well, so much for their idea of what a revolutionary was going to be and what their deliverer was going to be. Because Jesus didn't come to deliver us from things of this world. He came to deliver us from the stronghold of sin and the penalty of sin, that before we meet God, we are bound to in chains and in slavery. Jesus came that we might be delivered from that rather than from some government system. And so Jesus, they expect him now that he's come back and he's walked with them for several days. They've been around for a few weeks. We know a few of the things that Jesus did during these few weeks, but not a whole lot. And so then his disciples come and say, "Now, Jesus, now is this when you are going to restore the kingdom of Israel to its rightful place?" They still had not gotten it. They thought it was about money and power and this world. And Jesus is trying to teach them it's not about those things. It's about eternity. And it's about living for God's kingdom. Because that is that eternal godly kingdom is the one that we belong to. That's where our citizenship is as God's children. We're on this world just passing through. Now, though, as we pass through this world, God intends for us to leave this world a better place. And it should be a better place. If we're being the people that God has called us and created us to be, this world is a better place because we are in it. But Jesus has to remind the disciples, and he has to remind us, we have to keep the mission. Because there's a lot of things that want to crowd in and say, hey, we're a better mission. Drop that one and come follow this one. But Jesus' mission is the right one and the one we need to stay focused on. And so they said, all right, we're focused on this world, Jesus. Are you going to get them now? Are you going to give them what they deserve for how they treated you? And Jesus' response was, it's not for you to understand or be concerned about the things that God has determined and the things that are under God's authority. They said, your mission, what you're supposed to be concerned about, is being my witnesses. And that's what we want to talk about. That's what God wants all of us to do. That's what God has called us to do. That's what we're to be about, not about the things of this world. Do we need to be involved? Yes. And it's election time. I think probably all of us are ready for the election to be over. I'm tired of the ads. I'm tired of the mudslinging. You know, whoever's elected, to office, whether it's presidency or Senate or House or any other office, none of them are going to redeem this world because there's only one Redeemer, and his name is Jesus. And he died once for all. He died that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. And so Jesus said, listen, Peter, James, John, this is what you need to be worried about. Not if I'm going to get Caesar out of the way or, you know, give Caesar what he deserves. You need to be worried about being my witnesses and doing the things that I've told you to do and pointing people to me. Well, how they're able to do that is not in themselves. What enables them to do that is what Jesus said before. He said, you know what? The Holy Spirit's going to come and give you power. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them when the day of Pentecost, as we'll see in just a minute, comes. It changes everything. It changes these men's lives and what they're about. Now they were very, you know, before when we meet them in chapter 1, they're timid. And they're expecting this political answer. The answer isn't political. Because really the problems are not political. The problems are in our heart. It's a problem that all humanity battles with, the problem of sin. And the only solution to eradicate that out of our life is a growing personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what you're to worry about. Are you telling people about me? And so we're going to see that there's a lot of ways we do that. And we're going to talk about a couple of those this morning. Look with me now at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2. Now you read verses 4 through 8 of chapter 1. Now take a look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2. So as the day of Pentecost arrived, they were together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided, or various tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And so you find here, Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. So they're getting ready to celebrate the festival of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost had come. And so the disciples were all around. And something very unusual happened. As they were gathered together, fire fell on them. And that fire changed them. And if you we're not going to take time this morning and read the following verses in chapter 2, but maybe this afternoon or sometime this week, take a few minutes and read verses 5 through the end of the chapter. It's different. Their focus was different, and their message was different. Their message and their concern was no longer, let's overthrow Rome, let's find the political solution. But now, their concern is, we need to get busy about doing what God's told us to do, and we need to tell others about God's grace and His mercy. And as you read through the miraculous things that happened, including Peter's sermon, Peter preached a great sermon to those that were gathered, thousands and thousands of people gathered to hear Peter preach. But the funny thing is, the miraculous thing is, that everybody that was in that crowd, they were from all different countries of the world. They each heard Peter's sermon in their country's language. Help us understand what this. So, French people, which I don't know that there weren't French people there, but humor me. French people would have heard in French. The Russian folks would have heard in Russian. So, whatever country they were from, that's the language that. But was Peter preaching in all those different languages at the same time? He wasn't. But the people heard as Peter preached in their own tongue. Something different was going on. Something miraculous was going on. And so it reminds us of this first important truth as we think about the mission, that when the Holy Spirit of God comes into our life, we are enabled to speak. We are enabled to speak. When God has come into our life and when the Holy Spirit is living with us, we don't have to know what to say. And the truth of the matter is, when we determine what we're going to say, we a lot of times put our foot in our mouth and we mess it up. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit will tell us what we're to say. The Holy Spirit will give us the words that we need. And the Holy Spirit's words will not be words that lift you up. Nor will the Holy Spirit be words that tear others down. What the Holy Spirit will give you is words that lift up Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. He will give you language and He will call you to take actions that lift Him up. Because we all know that our words, people hear them, but our actions, the things we do, they speak a lot louder than the words that we speak. But the Holy Spirit of God enables us to speak both through our words and through our actions. Perhaps this has happened to you. I know it's happened to me on numerous occasions that I was just going about my business, trying to get my to-do list done. And says, you know what, you really need to call so-and-so. Like, you know what, I've not talked to him in a while. I really don't have time. I've got this long to-do list. But you keep this nagging. Say, all right, I'll call. So you take a break, you call him. And you find that, you know what, you were just the person that person needed to have a word of encouragement, or they were going through an issue and they needed your support. They needed your prayer. Well, how did you? You didn't know. But the Holy Spirit did. And so the Holy Spirit led you and directed you. So understand, if you're a child of God and you're living on mission, understand that God has enabled you to speak. And if God has enabled you to speak, guess what? He expects you to speak. If God has enabled you to speak, He will give you things to say, both in your words and in your deeds. Now, we mentioned the political season, and you know, I don't care what your political opinions are. You know, that's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. It's not my job to tell you how to vote. But I will tell you, pray about it and listen to the Holy Spirit, and He'll guide you one way or the other. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. God desires for us to be lights for Him. Jesus said this way. He said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. He said, you don't take a lamp and put it under a basket. You put it out in the open so everyone in the room can have light. And you and I and all of God's children are called to be lights to this very dark world. John had that theme all throughout, all five chapters. There was light sown kind of in between every page, wasn't there? And remember, John said, in God there is no darkness at all. But can I tell you, we live in a very dark world. This world is evil. But it will not be overcome. It will not be changed by us being more evil or contributing to the evil. The only way our world will change is if we take the light that Jesus has put in us and let it shine in this world. Because as I've mentioned, darkness is the absence of light. Darkness can't snuff out light. Only light can snuff out darkness. Because where there's light, darkness goes away. So God enabled us to speak both in our words and in our deeds. I want you to notice that as Peter preached, he preached God's word. He preached a message from the Old Testament. And then he preached from the words of Jesus and some of the lessons that he had taught. And he challenged the people. He said, listen, you have sinned greatly, but God's mercy is even greater than your sin. So repent. And many people did. Now, there were some that didn't. There were some that undoubtedly wanted to stone Peter. But there were some that listened. Understand that if you're a child of God, God has enabled you and expects you to speak for Him. And by the way, you're on duty 24 hours a day. You can't just speak for the Lord on Sunday at 11 o'clock. You got to speak for Him every minute of every hour of every day. But then secondly, he reminds us of something else. He said we are changed. We're enabled to speak both in our words and in our deeds. But then secondly, we are changed to share. So God has given us a tremendous message. Drop down with me to verse 40. Of chapter 2. So, and with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and were added to that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord had added to their number daily to those who were being saved. And so when our life is changed, not only do we have this message, not only does God give us the ability to speak, but He also gives us opportunity to speak. He gives us opportunity to share and how we live our life. And so it's not like some people want to take these verses that we read just a second ago and say the Bible teaches communism. It doesn't. It's not that everybody just sold all their stuff, they pulled it and moved into one little, monastery type situation. That's not what happened. Rather, they changed their focus from, listen, I need to accumulate more stuff. Because human nature was the same back then in the first century as it is today. And listen, human beings, we crave stuff. We like stuff. And we think the more stuff we have and the shinier stuff we have, the more successful we are. And so there's lots and lots of people in this world that waste their life trying to accumulate stuff. Man, they've got a lot of stuff. But that stuff doesn't do them one bit of good, because guess what? When you die, you can't take any of it with you. Your stuff stays here and it either is decayed and rusted, or your family fights over it when you're gone. But you can't take it with you. But that's human nature, that we worry about us. The power of the gospel is this, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we start to not care about ourselves. Because as a Christian, the Bible tells you, you need to take care of yourself. You do need to work, and you need to make sure you're clothed, and you need to bathe, and all those things that you need to do for proper hygiene and proper health. But that shouldn't be the focus of your life. And that shouldn't be the center of your life. That is the center of every lost person's life. It's themselves. Because that's what our sinful nature is. But when God comes and gives us new life, and He makes us new, yes, we take care of ourselves, but we also are concerned for others. And so we do some things differently than we used to. We gather together with other people. Can you worship by yourself at home? Yeah, you can. And by the way, you should. Can you pray? Yeah, you should. But you also should gather with other believers to do those things. There's something special that happens when God's people come together. Whether it's 2 or 12 or 20 or 200 or 2,000, there's something special when God's people come together and praise and worship Him. And there's something built within us in our spiritual life that needs that. You need other believers. You cannot live the Christian life alone. And you cannot live it in a silo. You have to live it in community. And that's what these verses 40 through 47, were talking about. So they ate together. They prayed together. They worshiped together. Did they do it individually? Yeah, they did. But they also made sure they took time to come together. And as they came together, when one had a need, the others came together to meet the need. Maybe, you may have 8 cars sitting out in your driveway. Well, the Lord probably would not say sell those 8 cars and give the money to the church. But what He might say is, you know what, you've got 8 cars, and somebody comes across your path that doesn't have a car, and they need a car, maybe get to work, get their kids to school, or what. Maybe the Lord would say to you, give one of your 8 cars to... Well, that would not come naturally to any of us. Because what naturally said, well, no, I ain't giving it to him. I ain't even lending it to him, because it's mine. Mine, 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 mine. And mine is a word of selfishness. It's a word of sin. And when Jesus changed these disciples' lives, it wasn't about me anymore. It was about how can I take the stuff that I've got and be a blessing to other people. And so they shared, they lived life together. They met each other's needs. They prayed together. They sang together. They ate together. Listen, you invite people that you like and you love to the dinner table. Most of the time you'd invite scoundrels, people that you can't stand, except on Thanksgiving when you got to have that annoying relative that you have to invite. But other than that, don't you spend time and have that fellowship? People that you like and people that you love. And so Luke is telling us in Acts that the same Holy Spirit that saved me saved you. And that same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. And so that Spirit draws us together. The Holy Spirit is always bringing God's people together, not breaking them apart. The Apostle Paul, in several of his letters, talks about the unity of the church and how important that is. And so we're not called to be communists or socialists, but we are called to be concerned for others. And there's great power when we do that. And you know what? There have been times when God has said, you know, I want you to help this person. Lord, they're just out for a con job. I ain't going to do that. Or, Lord, no, I need that. I can't really give it up. I need to hold on to that. And I tell you, there's never been a time when God's asked me to do something or to give something to someone that I've regretted it or that I've not been blessed by it. Now, I don't give to be blessed, but I'm blessed because I gave. Now, in saying that, understand it's not a correlation like some of these TV preachers will tell you. Listen, you give me $10, the Lord's going to give you back $100. Can I tell you that's a bunch of hooey? Don't listen, but if you want to try it out, you give me $10, I'll take it. But all that's happened is you've given me $10. Don't be looking for a $100 check coming in the mail. It don't work that way. Now, there may be blessings, $100 worth of blessings that come your way, but it may not be $100. So understand that. So God has equipped us, enabled us to speak, and He changes our lives so that we can share. And then lastly, I want to remind us as we wrap up this morning that we are called to support. You know what? We need one another. We can't do it alone. We need that in our church, but the Christian church, as a whole. Listen, every local church needs every other local church. We must not see ourselves as competition, but as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we must learn to cooperate and pray for one another. Unfortunately, that's an odd thing. What? You pray for another pastor? You pray for another church? Are you out of your mind? That's crazy. No, it's not. It's biblical. You are called to support one another. We all have the same mission, making much of Jesus. Not making our own little earthly kingdoms big, but by making the heavenly kingdom big. That's what you're to be about. Now, Peter, James, and John said, hey, listen, are you going to go get them now, Jesus? Jesus said, listen, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You need to put your eyes on the mission forward, not on the wrong thing. So he says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. All the world, he says. Now, there's not one of us that can go traipsing around the world. None of us have the resources. If you do have the resources to make a world trip, you come talk to me because I need to have a chat with you. There are some resources you might need to share. But probably most of us, we can't go around the world by ourselves. But here's the thing, God has called us and given us an opportunity to have a part in playing in world missions. So this is World Missions Sunday, and we've had missionaries come to our church. Listen, our church sets an example. You may not know this, but I'll remind us that our church tithes 10% of every dollar that's given to our church is spent on mission things. It's not spent on the church. We from the top take that out. So you give a dollar to the church, 90 cents of it we use, and we take a dime of it and use it for something outside the church, for a mission somewhere, either locally here in our community or within our denomination structure, or, you know, our state mission work, our international mission work, or our national mission work. That's one thing we can do. And today at the end of the service, after we sing and have an invitation, we will invite you to do that again. And I hope you'll give generously. What is that World Missions offering today? It helps our missionaries be able to go where God has called them to go, where you and I can't go, and tell the gospel to places where they've never heard. And so we have missionaries in Japan. Think of Hannah that's come to our church, and we support her every month. This young lady, God put a calling on her life. She left everything that was comfortable and that she knew. She's from up near Memphis. She went to Welch College. I almost said Free Will Baptist Bible College, but Welch College now in Tennessee. And she graduated, and God called her to go to Japan. You may not know much about Japan, but I can assure you, and you know enough about it to know it's a lot different than Mississippi. And yet she went. Could she have gone by herself? I tell you, no, she can't. Japan, you think it's expensive here? It's really expensive in Japan. She couldn't have gone by herself. But several churches, including our church, support her every month. And so she's able to go and share the gospel with the Japanese people. Justin Fite, who's just moved a couple weeks ago to North Dakota. Would any of us, none of us probably want to move to North Dakota. I moved from the Dakotas. And with winter, I don't want to go back. I like the winters here much better. He grew up and is from Central Ohio. Ohio is much different than North Dakota, and it's a far piece from Ohio to North Dakota. And yet that family packed up their two kids and moved. We are called to support one another, including our missionaries that go different places, with our financial support. You have a responsibility as God's children to do that, and if you are not, you need to start. And we'll give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. But can I tell you that money is not the most important thing that any of our missionaries need. And the biggest part of support that we can give them is prayer. We can pray for them. And guess what? Praying for them doesn't cost anything. Prayer's free. There's maps out in the bus. You say, well, I don't know what missionaries pray for. There's cards, little prayer cards. There's prayer maps out in the foyer. Pick one up and pray for our missionaries. We can also support them by letting them know we care, by sending an email, sending them a card. And I tell you, if you want to send them a care package, which we sent one to Hannah a few months ago, that will cost you. But can I tell you, I think it's worth it? Because it lets them know, hey, somebody loves you and is praying for you. Hannah let us know in the card that she sent. This is not even part of my sermon, it's just free information. She said, you know what, I was having a bad week. Our package was supposed to get there the week before it did. But God knew it needed to arrive when it did. So that box came just at the right time. Some would say, you know what, that was a big waste of $90. That's how much, and it wasn't a big box, it was just, but it cost $90 to ship it over there. And I tell you, it wasn't a waste of $90. I think it was a wise investment of $90. Because it let one of God's servants know somebody was praying for them and loved them and was with them. Because, listen, missionaries, whether they're in Japan, Africa, Europe, wherever they are, they're far away from their families. And oftentimes they're far away from other Christians. And it gets discouraging. So understand, you have a responsibility to support one another, including your church family. But understand that you have the responsibility to support our missionaries as well. Not just with your finances, but with your prayers and with your care. Let me encourage you to do that as well. So we have a mission that God has given us. And it's not one about this world. It's not centered on this world. It's not centered on this building and making it bigger or making it fuller. The mission is about bringing the message of grace, the message of the gospel, to people that have never heard it and letting it change their lives. Because the gospel will change every life it touches. The book of Acts says that those that heard the word were baptized. They publicly declared they decided to follow Jesus. But didn't stop there. They daily met together with God's people. And they worshiped. And they sang praises to God. And they ate with gladness. And they looked after one another. God help us to do that. God has called you. God has given you a mission. And let's gather together to go and do what God's called us to. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for how it challenges us, Lord. Lord, maybe there's one here today that's never received that free gift. Would you have them today to call out to you, to acknowledge you that they're a sinner, and to believe that you paid their sin debt for them by shedding your innocent blood. Help them to receive that gift by confessing you as Lord of their life. Lord, maybe it's one of your children here today, and man, this message has just been a reminder to us we need to support one another. Lord, it's so easy in this world to get off mission. We're pulled in so many different directions. And there's so many loud voices calling out for our attention. And sometimes it's hard to hear you. But Lord, today you've called us and you've directed us maybe to do something. Lord, help us to be obedient to you. Let's stand together and we're going to sing just a verse of invitation. If God spoke to your heart, there's a decision you need to make. We invite you to make it today. Are going to come, are going to receive our offering. So if you'll be seated for just a minute. And if you'd like to write a check, you can make it to the church and Ms. Kay will send it off where it goes. But please give generously. And so, Brother Steve, ask God's blessing on this offering, and let's pray for our missionaries this morning. Appreciate your giving and thankful for God's goodness and what He has done in my life and in our church. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful we come together. And so it does matter that we come together. It matters how we live. So God bless you. Let's sing our benediction chorus. And then John, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, please.